Welcome to episode 4 of season 3 on CMA's Construction Leaders Podcast. On this episode, we're going to delve into one of the world's most ambitious infrastructure projects. As we embark on an effort that starts through the heart of Europe, where precision, ingenuity, and commitment to excellence converge in Switzerland's large infrastructure scale mandate. Nestled amidst the breathtaking Alps, Switzerland isn't just a picture-perfect postcard. It's a testament to human determination and the engineering prowess. From the Gotthard-based tunnel, a marvel of modern engineering that burrows through the mountains, to the Swiss Metro project promising high-speed underground travel connecting major cities, Switzerland's infrastructure initiatives are rewriting the rules of connectivity and sustainability. But this podcast isn't just about concrete and steel. It's about the people behind the project, the visionaries who dare to dream big, the engineers who turned those dreams into reality, and the communities whose lives are transformed by these monumental undertakings. Here to discuss the challenges, triumphs, and future prospects of Switzerland's large-scale infrastructure mandate is Penny Tillman, a senior advisor of infrastructure with the Embassy of Switzerland here in the United States. Welcome to the show, Penny.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Nick and Carly. Thank you for having me. Very much appreciate this opportunity to be on this podcast and to highlight my recent client, the Swiss Business Hub USA, which represented the Swiss large infrastructure mandate in the United States. I should add a disclaimer that unfortunately, due to budget cuts, just recently, the USA mandate was eliminated from the large-scale infrastructure mandate of Switzerland.
Well, that's disappointing to hear, but Penny, could you take a second and just introduce yourself and tell us about the recent fact-finding mission that you coordinated with Switzerland, in which two of CMAA's Southern California board members, Jeff Bowling and Farah Farzana, participated?
Yes, happily. Again, I'm Penny Tillman. I'm an economic development and global trade and investment professional. Over the past 10 years, I've been contracting with foreign governments to support their commercial ambitions in the USA. My work entails essentially developing commercial and policy advocacy campaigns that focus on facilitating relationships with U.S. government entities, including the White House, Congress, state and municipal offices, as well as U.S. companies and industry associations such as yours, CMAA. In terms of the fact-finding mission, in which Jeff Bowling and Bear Farz and I participated, January 14th through 19th, partnered with the CMA SoCal chapter, the Los Angeles Area Chamber of Commerce, as well as the National League of Cities, to bring decision makers from both the private and public sectors to Zurich, Lucerne, and Davos to visit local companies to learn about their products and technologies deployed to sustainable infrastructure projects such as wastewater management, clean drinking, renewable energy, and mobility in terms of non-carbon emitting public transportation. In terms of an opportunity as well as facilitated, the delegates participate in programming at the World Economic Forum. We had two members of our delegation from the United States serve as panelists on infrastructure panels talking about their sustainability measures under process in the United States. It was a knowledge exchange between the U.S. as well as Swiss and Brazilian officials to be able to give them a world stage and to highlight key projects in their respective cities.
That's great. I've seen some of the stuff that came back with you from the Southern California Board, and it looks amazing, and I can't wait to dig in here. But I do want to ask you, how and why did you choose to talk to associations, and particularly CMAA?
Absolutely. In September of last year, I had the privilege of developing a mission on behalf of the Swiss ambassador to the United States, His Excellency Jacques Pittelil. We went to California and we developed relationships not only with the governor's office, but also municipal organizations, Mayor Karen Bass's team, in addition to the Construction Management Association's Southern California chapter, which was led most recently by Yashar Ushvar. We coordinated a program and welcome reception for the ambassador, the CMA SoCal. And during the reception, we facilitated so many conversations about how we could coordinate and work together more closely in the areas of sustainable infrastructure between the nation of Switzerland and various chapter members. With that said, I was charged with the responsibility of coordinating a high-level U.S. delegation to Switzerland to connect with local companies in the areas of clean technology. And I felt it was very important to have CMAA at the table and be involved with the programming, given the sheer significance of your organization. You're the only organization that comprises over 19,000 members in the EPC space. And clearly that was our target for the USA mandate in terms of Switzerland wanting to connect Swiss companies with U.S. EPCs, in particular across the United States, not just California, of course, but California being a major economy, fourth largest economy in the U.S., if you look at it as far as GDP in the world, but also in terms of their being one of the largest recipients of the bipartisan infrastructure funding that was passed in 2021. So it was definitely an opportunity to work more closely, intimately rather, with your leadership in California as well as nationally.
Now, Penny, it just seems like it would take so much effort to coordinate a program like this. How many of these missions are coordinated annually, and how can CMAA members participate in them?
Surely. In terms of the infrastructure mandate of Switzerland, I'll just give you some background information to better answer your question. In 2021, there were six global markets of target of the mandate. The United States came in quite late. Actually, the U.S. had taken the place of Russia due to Russia's invasion of Ukraine. Russia was eliminated from the program. The USA was included at the behest of Ambassador Pittello. He's quite a dynamic individual, not only a politician, but he's an excellent strategist, and he has very high business acumen. And he's, listen, the writing's on the wall. The United States, as largest infrastructure market, surpassing even the developing nations in terms of the amount of money that was unleashed by the bipartisan infrastructure law. So it would be most beneficial to Swiss SMEs in particular to have the USA included in the mandate. So with that said, the USA joined Indonesia, Brazil, India, South Africa, and the United Arab Emirates. In terms of identifying opportunities in that space, we were able to at least host one high-level delegation looking at senior executives in private sector as well as mayors and governors to be able to visit Switzerland from the USA and the other five markets annually, at least one delegation per year. However, I was in the process of coordinating two delegations per year in terms of also in the process of working with the White House to coordinate a White House federal delegation to learn more about how the companies really are playing a key role in pushing forward the USA infrastructure agenda.
And then just to follow up on that, you mentioned that the two board members from CMAA SoCal chapter were involved in this fact-finding mission. So if there are other CMAA members who are interested in participating, how would they go about doing that?
Absolutely. In terms of Switzerland, they're more than welcome to reach out to the Swiss Business Hub USA, the head of the organization, who's based in New York City. His name is Artur Chernojewski. Even though the mandate has been eliminated from the USA, interested U.S. companies who are interested in learning more about the infrastructure landscape and the companies in Switzerland can reach out to the Swiss Business Hub to get more information and to also initiate a conversation about coordinating an individual fact-finding mission to Switzerland and across the country. It doesn't necessarily have to be in Zurich, but Zurich is one of our key markets in terms of the local companies developing key technologies to export to the U.S. and to also open offices in the U.S. The mandate was geared towards supporting small to medium-sized enterprises, SMEs, not only in Switzerland, but all over the country, the United States, play a key role in economic development. With that said, the Swiss government wanted to be able to boost business opportunities for the smaller companies to gain a greater market share in six key markets around the world, including the USA.
Penny, are there other countries that coordinate similar programs for the U.S. firms to learn and engage commercially abroad?
Absolutely. Pretty much all of the U.S. key trading partners, allies, and friends have commercial offices operating in the United States for this purpose. I'll give you some examples. The United Kingdom, they have a Department for Business and Trade, Austrade, Israeli Commercial Mission, and Hong Kong Economic and Trade Office. In terms of majority of these offices are located in embassies or consulates across the United States, and you can contact their respective offices to facilitate discussions about developing programs similar to the one I coordinated on behalf of the Swiss government, Switzerland Global Enterprise. I just wanted to also give you more background information into not simply the foreign government side, but the United States government. They do have opportunities to assist organizations such as yours and individual companies to develop trade missions abroad. In terms of, we have the Department of Commerce, their International Trade Administration. It's called TradeWinds, their program. It's the largest U.S. government-led trade mission and business development forum. Roughly 300 companies on average participate in their delegation visits around the world. When I was serving at behest of the Qatari government, I coordinated a program for U.S. tech companies in partnership with the Business Council for International Understanding to visit Doha. So this is just another example of how organization and company such as yours within your membership can facilitate opportunities to learn more about business opportunities outside the United States, as well as working closely with state government entities. There's economic development offices, not only at the state level, but at the municipal level, that also can coordinate trade missions abroad, including local chambers of commerce. For example, the Swiss Business Hub, having partnered with the Los Angeles Area Chamber of Commerce for the recent fact-finding mission to Switzerland. This is another example of how different entities can work very closely together in support of, you know, doing business.
Let's take a quick break and hear from our sponsor.
At STV, we see the potential that lives within communities. We believe in the positive impact that takes place when people come together and worlds connect. Helping to create that transformation is what drives us forward and fuels our optimism for a better world. STV, making communities better today and for the future.
Penny, I'm curious about funding for these types of programs. Can you talk a little bit about how these programs are funded?
Absolutely. In light of so many budget restrictions when it comes to national governments, of course, and just governments in general, just in light of the economy, domestic economy, global economy, so many forces are working against these programs currently. But with that said, there are certain money that is budgeted per year for trade missions by various foreign entities, in addition to companies that help self-pay in terms of their participation. Regarding the recent fact-finding mission, I reached out to various companies in the United States to help sponsor hotel accommodation. Fortunately, the CEO of Hyatt provided an in-kind donation of 15,000 Swiss francs to drastically reduce the amount of hotel accommodation for our delegation, just in light of the significance of the program. In parallel, more so in concert with the World Economic Forum. Also, local companies provide and can sponsor local transportation, ground transportation, and certain meals. But a lot of it is 50-50 self-funded by companies in partnership with some government funding.
Penny, this other thing that you mentioned at the top where the funding was eliminated for here in the United States due to budget cuts, is there a way that comes back in the future?
Possibly. It all depends about the political will of the various organizations that were part of Team Switzerland. I know that several companies were really depending on the program to continue in the United States, just given the momentum, not only from the recent fact-finding mission, but also the attention of the White House. We had a huge champion in Mitch Landrieu, who was the most recent senior advisor to President Biden on infrastructure. He recently stepped down, of course, and joined Biden's campaign, of course, a re-election campaign. But the White House backed the Swiss mandate in the USA, along with various governments, including the state of California and the state of Texas. And I mentioned those two state specifically, because those two states are the largest recipients of the bipartisan infrastructure law funding in terms of formula funding and opportunities really to build out their infrastructure in terms of highway, chargers, water, wastewater management, growing populations, in addition to just the sheer size of the populations in both of those states.
So did the U.S. government organizations and Chamber of Commerce still help with coordinating such programs like this?
Absolutely. As mentioned, we have trade winds at the Department of Commerce and the U.S. Commercial Service. They actually have over 80 representatives and 80 embassies across the world. In terms of, you can specifically reach out to any number of U.S. embassies, and they'll have commercial offices similar to the foreign embassies that have presence in the United States, and they have their own commercial arms, but they do work closely together in partnership as key allies and partners. Switzerland, of course, is a neutral country, so they consider themselves friends of the United States, not an ally. There's just the nomenclature you have to be sensitive to. But with that said, there are avenues through both the U.S. government and the foreign government side to do business and to coordinate similar programs abroad. And this is throughout the entire year. It doesn't have to be once a year or a one-off opportunity, but they're literally hired foreign service officers from the U.S. and from other countries. They're hired to do this 24/7.
Penny, thinking about the specific U.S. industry sectors, are there specific sectors that are current priorities for foreign commercial organizations? And if so, what are those industry sectors?
Oh, sure. Absolutely. And in terms of looking at what's happening in the world in terms of climate change, of course, clean technology is top of mind, especially when it comes to GCC states like Qatar or the UAE. Obviously, Switzerland is chief among them as well. We're looking at defense industries, aerospace, so anything technologically motivated, and you can use that application to help mitigate climate change by way of decarbonization mechanisms. Those are pretty much hot industries in which foreign governments wish to invest as well as do business with.
So what is the target group for participation in the international exchanges such as the one that you coordinated back in January?
Absolutely. The target group was, again, U.S. EPCs. It was just a prime opportunity to partner with the Construction Management Association in that regard, as well as mayors partnering with the National League of Cities. They're actually the oldest municipal organization in the United States, and they actually celebrated their 100th anniversary, started their 100th anniversary by participating in the fact-finding mission to Switzerland. Within another week, they're going to host their Congressional City Conference in Washington, D.C., and highlight two of the Swiss companies that welcome the delegation locally. In terms of, we're looking at municipalities and those EPCs because the infrastructure mandate wanted to foster further commercial ties with procurement contracts, as well as, you know, opportunities to do joint ventures and basically sell their products to these entities to build out the built environment in the U.S. I can say, for example, Gas Water Factory, GWF, the chairman and CEO, Florian Strausser, he coordinated an extensive program for CMA delegates and the LA Area Chamber of Commerce and the mayors who participated in the delegation to showcase his innovative technology, whereby he has employed artificial intelligence to give you predictive modeling of water usage in municipalities, okay? And this can also be applicable to EPCs when they're constructing buildings, office space, houses, residential, you name it. This was such a brilliant opportunity to showcase this technology that has not been established in the U.S. yet. So this was a value-added opportunity to have these stakeholders, as I've mentioned, to be able to connect with the Swiss companies.
So I had asked earlier in the episode how individual members could get involved, but looking from an organizational perspective, if, say, an industry organization, association such as CMAA were interested in approaching countries to coordinate similar programs, how would they go about doing that?
I would say start by contacting their respective foreign embassy. Just giving you an example, in the case of Switzerland, you can contact the ambassador's office directly, and the ambassador's office can point you in the right direction, or feel free to, you can also do a more labor-intensive internet search and find the business arm of the embassy and where they're based. Usually, the majority of them are headquartered. They're in New York City at the respective consulate, but some are also headquartered in Washington, D.C., within the respective embassy. And contact their business arms and say, listen, I have this organization, a group of companies within this particular industry sector. We're interested in learning more about the opportunities in your home country. And then they can actually take it from there. And several offices do have the budget. If not, they'll be creative. They'll help fundraise with also nonprofit organizations, other trade associations, and be able to move forward with a proper program for you.
We have time for one last question, and I keep going back to the fact that the U.S. has cut this out of the budget, but any parting words for our members, maybe something they can do to still maintain involvement or anything that you would like to see come from the listeners of the podcast?
I must say, and hopefully most of us already know, that 95% of the world's consumers are outside the United States. And with that said, doing business with foreign companies benefits America. And the program that I recently coordinated on behalf of the Swiss government in partnership with Construction Management Association of America, LA Area Chamber of Commerce, and the National League of Cities highlights the significance and the importance of the U.S. being able to make inroads with countries, key allies, friends, and trading partners around the world, more so to support the current economy we're facing with infrastructure. This is an opportune time, once in a generation opportunity for us to move forward and to continue economic development domestically. But by doing it, we will definitely need key technologies from abroad still.
Penny, we really want to thank you for taking the time to join the podcast today. I'd imagine that our listeners rarely get a chance to hear about these types of programs. So we appreciate you joining and sharing the information.
Thank you so kindly. Thank you for having me. Again, it's been a pleasure. And I just want to once again say a special thank you to your CEO, Andrea Rutledge, whom I did not think initially at the start of the podcast. She's an amazing leader that we had the pleasure of having lunch with her with the Swiss ambassador in October.
Great. And to all of our listeners, on the next episode of CMAA's Construction Leaders Podcast, we will be joined by Cody Fournier to discuss the intersection between business development and professional talent development for both construction firms as well as professionals themselves. As always, make sure to download or subscribe to the podcast and follow us on social media at CMAA_HQ. And please feel free to leave us a review with your thoughts on today's episode. And let us know what you'd like to hear on upcoming episodes. On behalf of CMAA, I'm Carly Trout with Nick Soto. Thank you for listening.